Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Live Paranormal. Scanning the frequencies is now on
the air because it didn't play. It says it's playing, but it's not there. So I guess we're going to tell Rob that. It's not there. It's still playing.
Well, I got a copy of that if you want to cue that up in the future.
That's true, too. All right, good. But anyway, how you guys doing tonight?
I'm fine. Tired, wore out. The heat got to me today, but I'm good.
Oh, fuck yeah.
How are you?
It's bad down there, right?
Tomorrow's your birthday.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it is.
Wait.
What?
Give me a second.
What's the matter?
Give me just a second. Well, go ahead and keep talking.
All right. Well, anyway.
Well, we're broadcasting.
I can see it, too. Anyway, we are live on the air. This is the thing. Now, today I wanted to do, because William H. Howe executed at Fort Mifflin, August 26, 1864, wrongfully, I may add. And was buried on the 29th tomorrow, which is also my birthday. All right, and also in between on today's date, I lost my puppy named after him, my dog, and he was nine, William H. Howe, on today's date. Okay, so I want to clarify a little things about William Howe. I've been hearing a lot of rumors here, and I'm not happy with this.
Right.
But he's a negative entity out for revenge on people and blah, 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 blah. Almost like he's a demon, and it's a crock of shit. So whoever who's saying it is fake. I'm going to just leave that, and I'm going to leave it right there. Okay? Because William Howe, I've been researching him steadily since I got to Fort Mifflin, like 2007. I have not stopped. I've done his ancestry. I found his house. I've done like a million things. I've got all the paperwork. I've read the court transcripts. I got the book, Stop the Evil, going back to the old times, okay?
Letters that he wrote to the president.
I got the letters he wrote to the president. I got his family tree. I got every friggin' thing I could possibly get. And I've talked to people. I've been to places that, you know what I mean? And no, they're wrong, because if it wasn't for the good spirit and the good soul, who is not in any way, shape, or form trapped at Fort Mifflin. He just wanted his story told.
Right.
Okay, he's not. Okay, because I could talk to him wherever the fuck I go. All right, who is single-handedly, this spirit is the reason I found out everything Mikey's father was doing, because he was protective and told me because it was illegal, all right, or whatever.
Right.
And if it wasn't for him, I would have never found things out. If it wasn't for him being him, and it was no way, shape, or form of revenge, all it was being helpful. Because he works with my spirit guide, Walter.
Yes.
Okay? That I know. They work together. Because they work over on the other side. Okay? And nobody's trapped anywhere. And they talk about being beings of light. Okay? So that's number one. But on William Howe's scaffolding, when he was, on the gallows, when he was, right before he was being hung, all right, for all those demon talkers here, all right, here is what he read, here's what he read to the public and his wife and blah, 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 okay? It says, fellow soldiers and officers, I am now about to go before my God to answer to the crime of taking the life of a fellow creature. I bow down with submission to my sentence and freely forgive those who passed it. All who were witnesses against me did their duty as well as they could, and I take this opportunity to thank from my very heart members of the, court-martial who tried me, and especially Captain Clark and Judge Advocate Mr. Edmund Randell, my lawyer, for their kindness to me. As I have nothing to leave my dear children but my record and my good name as a soldier, I feel a duty I owe them to state now that I never sought the life of the man I killed, and I never wished it. And I feel that God would pardon me for taking it as I did. And I know my fellow soldiers and officers in the Army never blamed me, which is true, all right, for leaving as I was an invalid and had no hospital to go to in my regiment. Now I am about to leave my life. I commend my wife and my children to the cruelty of the world, and as a last request, I ask the pardon of those I have injured, and I hope they will forgive me and pray for my soul. Does that sound like a demon?
No.
That,
exactly.
Those words from William himself.
Well, I know the whole story.
Do not.
It was an accident.
Yeah, and but the letter, his last words to everybody watching,
yes,
did not indicate any form of vengeance, any form of hatred.
Yep.
He was, you know, just saying, dude, what happened was shit. It was an accident. I didn't mean for it to happen, but I accept my fate in having done this.
Right, and William is a, quote, unquote, when I got a picture of him, which I got, all right, he was elevated at least 3 feet in the air more. He's a spirit. He's not a ghost.
Right.
All right. So that's,
yeah,
that's the point.
And I hold the unique distinction of living in the town of the U.S. president,
yes,
that pardoned him, but the pardon came too late. Andrew,
yeah,
Johnson is buried 2 miles behind my house up on a hill over near Greenville.
Exactly.
And Danielle and I and our family have been up there to see the grave. Andrew Johnson had a very tumultuous presidency. He was impeached, all kinds of terrible things.
Well, we know.
Loved Greenville, and everything around us is Andrew Johnson this, Andrew Johnson that. But the one thing that I appreciate Andrew Johnson the most for is having pardoned William Howe.
Yeah, but see, he was pardoned a year to the day after they hung him.
But he did
sign the pardon, though.
Yeah,
just a little too
late
back then.
It still exonerated him even in death.
Right.
Yeah,
so
but
that
cleared himself anyway, which is what he wanted to do for his children.
Not his soul. His
all right, because he wanted to look. That what happened in Perkiomenville up on that mountain that night. If anybody read the court transcripts, read Hannah, his wife's statements, read his statements, the neighbor's statements, okay, really read the actual court documents like I have, you would know that these guys got drunk, Bartlett and his cronies, over at a tavern, okay? Pissed drunk, and Bartlett didn't like William anyway. And William wasn't running. He had dysentery. He planned on getting better and going back to the Army. He was in his own home, okay?
Right.
So they decided they got real pissed off. They didn't want to go, and they wanted to go rest them. So them and their wagon went, you know, and their whatever horse-drawn wagon. And they get there. It's midnight. There's no lights. This is fucking 1864 or 1863. There ain't no lights. You get what I'm saying? I forget. Well, anyway, well, I know when he was. I don't know what date it was. I have to look.
Yeah, there were.
But anyway, they went
there.
There
weren't street lights.
No, there was nothing. No, there wasn't cars. All right, so they go up there banging on the door. Hannah goes to answer the door, and she asks, who is it? They're like, get William. They're coming to get him. They're coming to get him or some shit. And then she's like, who are you? And he's like, it's Augustus. She's like, you're not Augustus. And then they started saying, we're going to push the door in. We're going to push it. Right, all this crazy shit. They did not announce who they were. So William was up in the bedroom, okay, and he went to the window, and they saw him. They fired one shot, and all he did was grab his Enfield rifle and fire one shot back and hit Bartlett. Okay? And then went up, and there was a bell that they would scream for the neighbors, and he kept yelling, murderer, because he thought they were coming in to murder them, these people. They didn't even know who they were.
Yeah, middle of the night, somebody shows up creating that kind of a scene. You have to expect the worst.
Yes, and then on top of that, so the neighbors would tell him, leave Bartlett, don't take him, don't put him in the wagon, a wagon bouncing him around like that. Yeah,
right.
And they're all drunk, so they threw him in the back of the wagon.
So they killed him.
Go get him help. So basically he bounced around until he bled to death. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. And then William still didn't run. He didn't run. He didn't move.
He stayed right there in the house.
He stayed right there until the real Augustus Biden came and said, William, you're going to hang you. They were coming to hang him, some bunch of people.
Yeah,
and
they
tried to
lynch him right there.
They tried to run. He didn't make it any further than Allentown. And that's when they brought him to Norristown Prison here, the old one, this one, okay?
Right.
Until
the one you're trying to save.
Yeah, the one we're trying to save, okay? And so they took him to Fort Mifflin. But he still was had sick with dysentery. His medicine bottles were full of cocaine, morphine, and alcohol. That was the medicine they treated these people with.
That right there.
Sick and a junkie by the time he was
right.
done.
Yeah.
Well, hell, that creates way more of a link than I had realized initially between the prison in Norristown and
Fort
Mifflin.
Bartlett
was in prison.
A year prior he tried to dodge a draft, but his family had money and bought his way out and gave him a cushy fucking recruiter's job instead of having to serve.
But Bartlett was also in that same prison, and William was in that same prison.
I know.
And Bartlett's family member was the one who actually pulled the lever at William's execution.
They say it was one of his cousins. I mean, I have to find the actual stuff, but no, that's what was said, yes.
Right.
That's
of course
what was
it
said.
Was.
We know it. Shit. Nobody won him. Even his own regiment, the captains, the whatever, general corporals, blah, 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 on, tried to get him saved. People came from all over, from New Jersey, from Pennsylvania, his whole regiment, the 160, they did not want him hurt. They didn't want him killed.
That confuses me because when your own commanding officer is trying to stand beside you and defend you on it.
It's called money, right?
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure it still happened now, but most of the time now they would stand behind the soldier.
Right.
So it's like, no, they were trying to break into his house. He had, he was free and clear to defend his house, his family, his property with as much force as was necessary to
keep
from being hurt.
How the hell he know? Look, he was up in bed.
Yeah.
All right, so how the hell, you know what I mean? It's midnight. Hands
so, yeah,
to the
I mean,
floor.
And you know, going back to, you know, all the bad stories about William being out for revenge because, he's pissed that they sold tickets to his execution and blah, blah, blah. I don't believe they sold tickets to the execution, did they?
No, listen what happened. It was a public execution where reporters came in, blah-de-da-de-da-de-da. Okay, all that jazz. All right, but I don't know about selling tickets. I never read that. Okay, so at all. All right, but I know it was public where the reporters and everybody could come in to document the episode. But they did line all the prisoners that were in prison. They were up on the walls with guards to make it William an example that they were next if they tried any bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
They made him watch William get hung. But they made him watch. William escaped 3 days prior, tried to. He went up the air shaft and they pretended to shoot at him 12 times and missed, you know, that kind of deal. Then they took him to Eastern State. Then they brought him back and they put him in the guard shack that used to be next to the gift shop building right there by the bathrooms where they were right there.
Right.
And they had him by the window and he could watch it. They brought the gallows from Eastern State Penitentiary over to Fort Mifflin and built them in front of his face. And they said he was calm. He was cool. He was collected. Okay. And he wasn't afraid. You get it? He has no revenge. All he wanted is the truth told, man, and nobody's telling it.
Did they ever investigate Bartlett? Did they even ever investigate
the whole story behind why they
went up to the house and do that to him?
No, well, I don't believe so, did they?
I know, back then, no, I doubt it. No.
He was... At the time, wasn't Bartlett a recruiting officer?
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean.
Yeah,
rank and pomp and circumstance and unfortunate events.
And
because money talks and bullshit walks.
They were going to go arrest William. William wasn't going nowhere.
Yeah.
That's the point.
And he was bullshit, so they were going after him.
See,
I'm going to play some William Powell clips. Okay, here's what people don't
know.
But a lot of these clips, I always said Fort Mifflin, but they're not. They're at his gravesite. Okay, they're in Park de Omanville, and they're also at Fort Mifflin. I think only like one. Okay?
Right.
So I'm going to play them now. They're pretty self-explanatory. He says his name and whatnot. All right.
William's quite ubiquitous. He's
I know
around.
That. I don't know what it's called.
All right, yes.
I delivered flowers, yes. I brought them to his gravesite. I planted fresh flowers that day. And that's what it says, it's delivered flowers. All right, you ready?
That's correct.
He's going to start again. I'm explaining it.
Okay, I'll be quiet. Go ahead. I'll be
quiet.
Here's the
flowers.
Yep. William Howe. See?
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No more again, coming. Okay, William Howe again.
I didn't make that one out.
That was William Howe.
And then he said, oh, said William Howe. Play that
William
again.
William Charles. Well, I can't go backwards. It doesn't let me
scream. Oh, no, okay, that's fine. Go ahead.
Okay, listen. There's more to this. I'll explain to you in a minute. That last one right there, it said, why hurt me? You came from the fort. You know what I mean? So I don't know who he's talking to. Like, you're like, nobody's going to hurt me. I came. You get it, what I'm saying?
Right.
Came from the fort.
Why hurt me?
Yeah, why hurt me?
So he was probably talking to Bartlett and his crew.
Oh,
yeah,
no
doubt. No doubt.
Maybe it was a residual imprint.
He might have been talking.
That was with me. That was when I was over them flowers at his grave. That was also.
Oh, okay.
He might have been.
Maybe
talking
people
to
were
Steve.
Talking. Maybe he's tired of everybody talking bad about him. And that's why
sure, yeah.
why they want to hurt me. Yeah.
How could I mean? When I go back.
Well, I didn't want people talk bad about him. He's great.
No, he's great either way. You don't care. He's like that,
that's
but still
I mean.
He wants his story. He wants his story told. Look in this letter. He said they didn't tell me. He didn't tell me who he was. Then
yeah.
and shot. Then shot at him. And then he shot at me. Then I shot. Then went upstairs again. Opened the window. He shot at him from. Okay, he went upstairs. He was downstairs. Looked out. Everything was quiet. And then, William, I can't read that. What the fuck is this? But and oh, a hollered. But he spelled hollered like hollered. Murder,
right.
Murder. That's hollered. What he's doing. Holler, murder, murder. To my neighbors and told him and that to be, I remember William didn't write English that well, to more and went there and came back again. Then I had shot the enrollment officer from New Hanover Township and he was going to catch me. And then they can't caught me and took me to Philadelphia. Okay. It says, and put me in a cell about 8 feet long and about 4 feet wide. I am almost smothering in here. I am now in 6 weeks, and it is no one are coming in, and all they still and bark. I don't know if he right. Oh, if he would have come there as a man, he could catch me, but not like a murderer. The bullet.
Right.
He said, and this I can from a be, wait, this can be, oh, he's got witnesses. Okay, yeah, it can be by witnesses, William H. Howe. Like he literally has witness, but he's smothering in there. He had no lights.
Yeah.
It's pitch black. It's in the dark, okay?
Uh-huh.
All right, when you go back and you listen to these letters, man, he said, I enlisted to fight for the Union. This one's a little better. He wrote the other one in case May 11th, and I'm having a hard time reading it. But this one's better.
It was probably
and
real
late,
tricky by
there
then.
There was probably a light. Yeah, this was probably earlier. And little children's and a wife behind me. And when I did, I came out here, I was treated like a dog, not like a soldier. And he came out of the Battle of Fredericksburg carrying the fucking flag with the fucking 10 people survived.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the 116th Pennsylvania Volunteers Infantry, Company A. Okay, enlisted August 8th, 1862. There you go. So when he came out, they cheated him like, it's a real Sleepy Hollow story, if you
yeah.
think about it. It's got the vibe completely.
It definitely does. And
like,
when he wrote it in there that if they had come to him as men, basically
yeah.
with honor, announcing who they were and the
yeah,
reason
they,
why
yeah.
they were there, that he would have surrendered for the desertion.
Yes he would have, because William would
because,
have done that.
Because
he
was
not.
Sick in the first place, and his battalion knew that he was
yes.
trying to recover.
And he did not have, the newspaper and some articles have it wrong, he did not have three children, he had two. He didn't have time to have, he married Hannah in 1860, right?
Right.
Okay, went and joined the Army in 1862, and the second son was born, first son was born in the middle, and then the second son was born, there was no time. All right, so, and Charles and William were their names. All right, but they would, but when you think about all this shit, why does people, look, it's more interesting to talk to spirits and find out what their story is than to go claiming people are demons. I'm getting tired
uh-huh.
of that
yeah.
shit. Are you?
Wait,
Fabian was saying something. Let him talk first. Go ahead, Fabian.
I was just gonna say that a lot of times when you go on investigations and you bring yourself into it, you're trying to get responses and you're trying to get interactions and you're trying to provoke and you're trying to poke the bear, so to speak. A lot of times if you just sit back and be really quiet and listen,
mm-hmm.
and listen to what's going on, and if you ask a simple question, more often than not, you'll get a simple reply or a simple bit of evidence. I believe William rolls that way. And I've always believed, based on everything you've told me about William, I believe that he would come out and just open up to you in such a way that all this ambiguity and drama, that's human on this side. Well, everything on his side, his already passed. But I think it does afflict spirits when you come in and you're provoking and you're calling them names and you're like, in his instance, murderer and things like that. I think it's not cool. It's just not cool.
Oh, when I
that's
was
I had to
Greg was with me this time, too, and Dawn and all them, when we were in Casemate 5 and there were some guys from Long Island, they were in Casemate 11. But we didn't know what they were doing. We didn't even know they were in there. We were just in case they five. And the box kept saying 5, 11, go, now, make them leave, blah, blah, blah. We're like, what are they talking about? And we went out, and then we finally figured out. We're like, well, okay, let's go to Casemate 11 then. 5, 11, we don't know. We're checking everywhere. And we go to Casemate 11, and there's 5 guys in there. And we asked them what they were doing. And they said, well, we're just, trying to get some responses. I said, are you provoking? They said, yes, I'm
right. Right, yeah, that's what they said.
I said, I know. We were sent here by the spirits on the box to tell you that you shouldn't do that.
But this calling him a murderer junk, I mean, anywhere you go. That's not just what we're talking about tonight.
I've seen
this in surge, and it's increased
in
people pushing buttons because they see it on the TV shows that they're supposed to get hateful and provoke and think like, and we've talked about this ad nauseum, but I'm going to bring it up again because we're talking about William now, and a lot of people, based on what you've told me, and I would assume Greg probably knows more than any of us, how many people go in there on the investigations and they try to provoke the spirits that are there. There's more spirits. There's Elizabeth.
There's two, what was the other lady?
The one, the butler, was that her
both
name? The one?
They're both Elizabeth. Elizabeth Butler.
Yeah, that's correct. Yes, absolutely.
Bunker.
That's right. Bunker.
But still, the scream comes from outside the fort, not inside the fort.
Yeah,
I heard that.
Captain Stoddard was the unfortunate officer who got his head knocked off by a British cannonball.
And that would have been
provoking
right
the spirits is not cool, man.
No,
and I don't care where you're
see,
at.
And that's where corporate ghost hunters completely differ from paranormal investigators.
I like that. That's smart.
Corporate ghost hunters are more about entertainment.
I like that.
Ghost hunters.
Ghost hunters always did their job right.
Right. They're more on the corporate side, but they're more on the investigative side. They're not.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Ooh,
exactly.
I walk in and suddenly, oh, I'm being attacked by a demon. We got to look around. There's demons everywhere. Oh, demon, demon, demon.
Yeah, demon, demon.
And it's like, yeah.
Maybe these people bring in.
But me and Bobby J. Gallo summed it up one night. We were on Facebook just talking.
Right.
And I sent him a message, and he was talking about, he was actually defending
Bobby.
Zach.
Bobby.
Yeah, shout out
Bobby.
To Bobby J. Gallo.
What's going down?
we were talking about, he was talking about Zach Bagans, and I actually understood what he was talking about. And I came in, I said, well, and actually David just made that point. You got to understand the difference between entertainment and investigation. There is a entertainment aspect to it, and that's what fuels the interest in it on television. But out here in the field, everything we're doing is, if we're smart about it, we're trying to elicit responses and get information about what's going on around us where we're at instead of without being jackasses. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's the thing. Right.
Posted. Fabian had shared a post of Bobby Gallo's earlier about the Whaley, House, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Whaley.
Okay.
Love Whaley. Big
now,
fan.
The Whaley House itself, that's the one where Yankee Jim is supposed to haunt?
Yeah, that's it. That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
There again, that's another prime example of maybe getting the whole story completely wrong. Because Dave Schrader was there doing a reinvestigation on the Holzer files.
Yeah.
And when they figured out a different guy who could be doing the thing, Schrader got knocked on his ass.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I
literally,
saw that.
I watched that. I saw him. That 300-pound man got knocked
right
across the room, choked straight into somebody else and right to the ground.
I can imagine the look on his face.
Oh, my God. He was.
He
had to walk out of the house because he was in that.
Shout
he was in shock.
Dave.
He was in absolute shock.
Dave. Dave is a great guy, period.
Dave is really great. He's talking to me.
What was the guy's name? Verdugo? Yeah, Verdugo.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Juan Verdugo, who was, he was a lot worse than Yankee Jim ever could have been.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a flat-out murderer. He was,
wow,
he was burning people's property.
Yeah,
he was doing all kinds of shit. But they kept accusing Yankee Jim.
Right.
Until Schrader,
he's on to something about the correlation
Dave,
between Williams and Yankee Jim,
because
they both had similar stories.
Look at Dave researched enough. Okay. And look what he experienced, and he did what he's supposed to do. You know?
He did the investigation. They figured it out, and when he asked if it was Verdugo who was doing that, that's when he got knocked on his ass.
Yeah, that's when he got knocked on his ass. Yeah.
Well, there's so much.
I forgot the name. That's a good memory. I don't remember
I'm just sitting here thinking. Oh, by the way, we're going to have Nicholas Santino on next week. He's going to come talk about the Lizzie Borden house. They have similar stuff with Lizzie Borden.
Oh, fucking awesome.
So, all right, we're going to talk about that next week.
Okay, that's
Santino. Tino. Santino.
That's Mikey's friend growing up with the Fort, right?
Yeah. And he's a paranormal investigator now.
Yep, cool.
He's the one that took that classic picture that everybody sees at Fort Midland of the friggin' Revolutionary War soldier.
Right. Cool.
Yep. No, I was there. I remember. But we're going to have him on. But, you know, things like this go on all over the place. But when a place that, okay, number one, if you bring a psychic into Fort Mifflin, I know who's real and who's not. Like Larissa, those people, they're good. I love them. Shout out to Larissa and the whole entire crew. I love them. Okay.
They're in Mexico tonight.
I know. They're having
They're right down the road from me.
You're in Mexico?
Oh, Mexico? No, Mexico, Maine.
Yes, there actually is Mexico, which is right next to Rumford.
I know. I used to run up there.
They're both haunted.
And Maine. Look at the fact of the matter, though, that when these storefront psychics, I can call them, I gather.
Yes.
I gather I can call them storefront fucking psychics.
Yes,
okay.
I would say that.
There you go.
They go in a place and you're sitting there and you listen sometimes to these fucking people and you know the history, you know the spirits, and you're like, what the fuck are they talking about? None of what they say is real.
Right.
It's fabricated completely. Okay? And that's
fabricated, embellished.
I mean, no, really. And plus, if you do it at a place like Fort Mifflin, do it at a place like Fort Mifflin, all that info's out there ahead of time.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Exactly, yeah.
All righty.
But I know some psychics. I do know some psychics.
I do know some great ones.
That are genuine as the day is long. And
yep,
Lori Johnson is one of them. Do you remember Lori Johnson? You ever heard of her?
I think I did.
Lori, she's amazing. She was on...
I am the most punk rock out of the whole paranormal field.
Well, she's just great. Just take my word for it on this one. Lori is one of those... She's like you. She's down to earth and genuine, and it's human, and she's just down to earth, and she doesn't play anybody. But when they ask her for her gift, she's willing to give it. It's she's in it, and she's not trying to nickel and dime every other person. It's a personal thing to her. They have to request it. It's not something she's putting out there for everybody. So,
that's why, I don't know.
The way Rhonda Caudill is, too. Rhonda's the same way.
I know.
There's a few of them out there, but I know what you're saying.
You're saying the
faces, the psychics with them faces, like they're trying to
No.
Yeah,
no.
They're trying to burn that image in your mind.
Well,
I'm the real deal because I
let's
look
go back.
Like this.
Let's go back. We'll do a... I heard that happened at Selma. Now there's some demon over there. There ain't no fucking demons at Selma either.
Yeah,
God damn it.
Yeah.
All right?
Get them.
And people really need to know that. And there isn't anything negative there either. And as a matter of fact, on my audio from the fort, which I will be sharing once I get all onto a video form, I even got Ruth Fornance. She was at the fort with the boys talking to them like nothing. It's Ruth Fornance at the fort.
All the way from Selma Mansion.
Yeah, but the line of communication is always open. That's
right.
What people are not realizing. So maybe some of these people that claim they got demons, bringing them in on their own self.
I think they are.
Tagging along with them.
That's very possible.
Okay? I mean, but none of this shit is facts. I mean, when you get facts, you get facts. Facts are facts. I've done enough research on William Howe where I can even tell you why he joined the PA Volunteers, the Irish Brigade. Because.
Of his mother.
But really, because Pennsylvania Dutch, Irish, and Scottish, they're all connected, number one. But his grandmother was from Ireland.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? But he would still be considered Pennsylvania Dutch German. But it was still mixed. It's all mixed. It's intertwined. We know that. Right, baby?
See,
we know that.
Yeah.
We know
and
that.
We know.
Now, there was something else.
Yeah.
And in that particular, episode, a particular British investigator, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, Lisa.
He was worried
about the spirits at Fort Mifflin not communicating with him because he has a British accent.
Yeah, but the British that fought in the Revolutionary War all had British accents. Now, they were Americans, but they still had accents. You know that. Most of them.
Right. Oh, definitely.
Most of them had British accents because a lot of them were British going against and forming a rebellion.
Right.
And besides,
that one was like, I mean, at first I was like, man, that would make sense, but then...
No, maybe they didn't talk to him because they didn't know him and he wasn't talking to them.
Right.
Anything like that could happen. You know?
Yeah, he wasn't doing a whole lot of talking during that investigation.
When you go in the fort, rule number one, I walk in and I say, hi, I'm home. I swear to God, when I walk in, I walk through the Sally Port, I'm like, hi, I'm home. I always announce it. And then I go in and say hi to everybody in case they want 2-5. Then I walk to the Powder Magazine. I go over there to Art Hillary. I go all over the place and just say hello. But
when we went to stay at Nickerson Snead, Danielle and I said, let's say hi, we're home. Let them know we're there when we come in there. And Danielle and I both went in there and said, hi, we're home at the same time.
Exactly.
To let
that's
them know
how
that
you
we
feel.
Were there.
Yep. That's
exactly.
How you
yeah,
feel.
Because Nickerson is like Danielle wants to go on our birthday, so you know I don't know. I want to go ahead, David.
Yeah, you'll have fun if you go on. You gotta do that. Go again.
Yeah.
Go again.
I told her I gotta look at the money.
I know, right?
That comment that he made though about
It wouldn't affect. I have British guys in there one night, one hour investigation one time, and plus guests during the day. They always have a story to tell. So, no, it's... Nah.
My question, though, is it possible that at some point, in some places, some spirits won't interact with you because of your nationality or language?
I don't have a problem.
I don't know. When we had Spanish... You know, all I meant to tell y'all about this. Maybe I already did, but I'll bring it back up since we were just talking about...
Right, you got...
I had Humberto.
I don't know.
Humberto and Courtney, my daughter and my son-in-law, Humberto, they're my field agents in Arizona and out there in Arizona and California and Nevada, if they ever get up that far. According to Rhonda, I told her that we had Spanish coming in through the GS2 spirit box and the and it was coming in. We had multiple hits on audio on my SB7 and the GS2.
Right.
And it was coming in Spanish. We were getting talking to Humberto, and then I told Rhonda about it, and I'm like, why would we be getting replies in Spanish? And why was something trying to connect to Humberto? And she said, well, little known to many, if any, that come here, there were Spanish slaves. that uh-huh. were there
yep.
at that location yeah. at, back in the colonial.
They
house.
Will talk to you however they can
so
come out. I've had Spanish.
She said,
too.
We've had that mm-hmm. happen before. And I'm like, well, that's delightful.
I've had to look up words I didn't understand because I'm like, what does this mean? I would spell it and look it up, and it would be in another language, and I would get an answer. So it could be German. It could be anything. German, Spanish. It doesn't really matter. The old Dutch, like the
right.
Oh yeah,
but
the old Dutch, the hijacked
David
email.
Wait a minute. Let's
David
talk about
was onto
this.
Something. He was onto something though about do they get offended if you don't know their language? That is a good question.
No. Not the, no.
You don't think so?
I don't, because especially since Walter, well, for me, Walter can relay what they're trying to say if I don't understand it. So it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, if I ask him,
right.
Walter, what's going on, then he'll tell me in whatever voice he decides to pertain himself into at that moment. It could
right.
be Walter, or it could be, it's just Walter, or he could talk normal like he normally does. You know,
yeah.
like, oh, I don't know, I don't, you know, just rolling out. But like, no, I don't think they get offended. I think they try harder, as a matter of fact. They want you to understand them. So that can happen, you know?
Your hijacked email.
Oh, my hijacked email. William has no revenge plot. Because when I was met with Bartlett, the actual Bartlett's actual grandson, to do that,
right.
that proposal that one time, to run events that Dawn and Jerry kicked me under the table for the entire time, you know? You got a little sense. But anyway, I wrote the proposal. I proofread it twice. It was perfect. I read it to the kids, everything. And I pressed send. I woke up in the morning, and they were like, he's like, you need to recheck your email. Okay, and half of it was in old Dutch, Pennsylvania German Dutch. And it was like, we need to sit down and get this all on our plate. Had nothing to do with anything, but it was Bartlett's grandson, so I know who hijacked the email. The only one that spoke fluent Pennsylvania Dutch German, okay?
It was William Howe.
All right. But it was like, we need to sit down. We need to clear the air.
Right.
Okay, and that kind of stuff in there. And
well, that in itself is cool.
Yeah,
Chip
that right
Bartlett's
there.
Grandson.
Yeah,
yeah,
it also further proves.
That's wicked.
Yeah,
I did not get the event. I did not get the host event, and I never heard from him again. Okay, but. But,
it proves that he was not out for revenge.
No, it
yeah.
proves that
he was trying to
next to me and hijacked it on the way. That's what it proves. Sorry.
Yep.
And I was in my kitchen. So there. There you go. All right?
William likes your kitchens everywhere.
William loves kitchens. I don't know what the fuck it is with him in kitchens. I'll be like, William, where are you? He'll be like, I'm here. I'm like, where are you, though?
Right next to the
makes
stove.
Makes you wonder,
yeah,
did
like,
they
the
miss
kitchen.
The... Do they miss eating? I mean, you know, that's one of those
I don't know, but
weird questions.
Just like, I don't know why he likes my kitchen, but he seems to hang around. But he'll come and go, like, if I
maybe
call him,
because,
he'll come to
maybe
talk to
because
me.
Hannah stuck around the kitchen a lot.
No.
We
I
had
don't think,
a,
so. She worked
had
in a cigar factory.
The
yeah.
trailer we had before we bought the house that we lived
right.
in from 1998 to 2010,
mm-hmm.
When we bought it, we were aware that an elderly lady had passed away in the kitchen, and
that's gonna be
in the book that I'm still working on actually, and that I'm gonna write. I'm still working on it.
Well, yeah,
but we had you know, the kitchen was actually pretty nice, but boy, if we around Christmas or Thanksgiving, sometimes
some things would kind of
you know, like stuff
uh-huh.
would move. You know, it was, you know, just a little bit,
yep.
not much. But you
yep.
could, I could feel it. I felt it in the kitchen one day, and I said, "We're cooking today."
I know. No, I.
Oh.
Because I noticed the towel, the dish towel, moved on, hanging on the handle of
yeah.
the fridge. It moved, and I'm like, "We're cooking today."
But I told you. Wait, I told you guys about what
and
happened.
And I said, "Get the hell out of here! This is our kitchen."
I told you guys what happened, right?
With the spaghetti, spoon thing?
Well, first the radio went staticky twice, like somebody
yep.
was walking in front of it. Then my speakers shut off, bloop, bloop, and I put it back on and went bloop again. And then we're like, what the fuck is going on? Carly and me were here. Me and Carly. Carly was over on the table, right? And right now she's out. She's going to Pittsburgh on a trip. She's going to have a great time. Anyway, so she's getting ready for that. But so over there, she was sitting there. I was sitting in the chair by the counter. And all of a sudden the spaghetti tongs fucking flew from the counter to the middle of the floor. And I was like, she goes, what the fuck? I go, I'm getting the box. And we put it on. And I knew right away that I was getting the box. And they did have a message. And like an hour later when Mikey called me,
right,
he was like, Mom, I got to tell you something. I said, no, you don't. I already know.
Yeah.
He was in shock.
They love to play games.
No, they were letting me know ahead of time what things were going to happen. They did really well.
I love
well
it when they move shit. I don't actually.
Well, I wasn't
sometimes
paying attention.
They'll move things when you're not looking. You know, first time I put a camera in the house, I was going to do an early version of podcasting, I guess. I thought I was anyway. And I left the camera running. I didn't know how to record with a camera back then. So I'm actually looking on the screen. I'm at the sink, and the camera's pointed at our kitchen table there in the trailer. And I see the salt shaker jiggle and move a little bit. And I'm like,
oh, wow.
This is our kitchen. Get the hell out of here. I saw that.
See,
I'd be like,
weird things try to happen a lot. I don't think it has anything to do with particular location.
Not always.
Earlier today.
You're right about that.
That episode that we had Grant,
that's an old way of thinking. But yeah.
Right, but that particular episode of Ghost Stories that was filmed at Fort Mifflin.
The one
that
with
was
the
great.
The
love
one that,
that.
I was
yeah,
I
the
was
Travel
watching.
Channel had Lisa Terrio in it. It was good.
I was watching
that
earlier
what,
today.
I slept in Elizabeth Bunker's room the night before. Okay.
Was that you on the bed in pain?
That's
yes,
me.
It was.
That was you on the bed writhing in pain.
That
yeah, I thought so. And I saw you flop over and die, and I started laughing.
Well,
yeah,
you'd remember.
I told her, look, she's going to die. She's going to die watching video.
I spent the night alone. I spent the night because I didn't want to come the next morning because it was early. So I spent the night there in Elizabeth in Bunker's room for the night. I slept in the room. I ran a recorder all night. I got EVPs all fucking night. The doors, I wake up, every door, one going downstairs, the downstairs, that one, all the doors were wide open. I just got up. I was like, what the fuck? No lie. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, it was very strange. I could hear them talking when I ran the audio back from when I was sleeping. They were having conversations. Mm-hmm. All right. But
when
I
watched
fun.
It earlier,
lights
in the living room were flickering at me. Remember,
mm-hmm.
I told you that.
I know. Mm-hmm.
They haven't done it since then.
Well, what do you think? I think, look, Walter is my guide. Walter can talk to any spirit anywhere. We know that. Matter of fact, he made his presence known to Natalie. I hope she's listening. All right, to Natalie, because she was visiting over here, and then she said as soon as she came to visit, she talks to Walter too because they do the spirit box with their friends now.
Oh, okay, cool.
Okay, and so she talks to Walter too, and then she said every time strange things happen, she said when we all get together, it just you know what I mean. They'll get like signs of this and that. You know what I mean? Like it's normal. You know, and especially with kids that
hey,
know
Lisa,
you.
Hey, Lisa, is that Lori Hull that was on the show? Is that the
oh,
Lori
yeah.
you often? Is that the one you often talk about?
No, it's not the same Lori.
Okay.
I haven't seen her around lately. But no, that's a long time ago. But you see how the
that
face
was
before.
Was,
you see
that
how
was
the face
before was, Greg wasn't it?
No, Greg was there. He just did the scouts back then. Like,
oh, he was a scout.
I remember him when he did the scouts. So yeah.
Yeah, there was another guy claimed, and there was like some other guy. He had an eye kind of.
Yeah. You know who's in there? Whatchamacallit? The Dead Milkman guy from the band, the Dead Milkman.
Oh hell.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah, he's in there too. All right. So yeah. But
you were gonna say something about a face. You were saying face.
Oh yeah, the face
was man.
When I
saw that one.
You notice how
the
faceless
man
was portrayed of the one in Case May 5.
Yeah.
You see
what I
mean?
Yeah.
That's the story of the faceless man, so that people wouldn't see his face. I'm thinking it might be the judge, even though I don't know. Judge has a lovely sense of humor.
Oh,
you know
what I mean?
I can tell you that the judge has never once ever been mean to me. All right, not at all. But when I went back last time, David, you were there when they were surprised to see William.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and funny how he's such a demon and he's dropped there. They were surprised to see him. They were like, William,
mm-hmm.
William. And then one comes in and goes, I should arrest you. It's funnier than shit, okay?
See, even he's even getting yelled at for desertion in the spirit world.
Right.
He's like, William, you're stuck here at the fort. What are you doing? You're running around helping people. Get the hell back here.
Helping isn't even a word for it. If it was not for his words in the beginning, he did not like Mikey's dad at all.
Right.
Because he said he reminded him of Bartlett.
Liar.
He knew what he was saying. You know what I mean? And like, if you know, it depends. Like, that's why I don't call nobody Steve, because he always says Steve. That's how he says his name. All right, so it was always started with that, but if it wasn't for him, and number one, actually, he probably helped him too, because if it wasn't for me finding out and stopping the whole thing, he might have overdosed and died. Okay?
Yeah,
so
true.
Technically, we might have saved a life too. So, but technically, he really didn't. I mean, to the point where he was like, go look here, go look here, go look there. Oh, there's whiskey bottles. No, he's hiding the whiskey bottles in the oil burner.
In the wood burner.
Wood burner outside. And so, I went outside the next day because I saw a coyote, and then I realized there was bottles. I told him the night before, but I realized there was bottles thrown everywhere, so he was. And he tried to get rid of the evidence. that shit I can definitely say, you know, because when he walked in that day, I was like, William said you got bottles of booze hidden in a wood burner. You did this fuck when you did this. And then I was like, okay, whatever. And then he went out to the back to take the dogs out, so he must have tossed them. Then I don't.
Right.
Okay.
You
know, so
shit,
how's
got
that?
Caught by a ghost.
But now I look back and it's kind of funny. You know, they were empty. There was eight of them. Empty ones. empty bottles. Yeah. Yep.
But,
so then,
you know, remembering William Howe about him being falsely accused and...
That's what
being,
he was,
Do you think, do you think that has any bearing on the haunting, or do you think he's just a free spirit and that
he's
coming
free.
And going...
He told me
he's
free. He told me
he's
free.
Coming and
he
going,
went to the light. He comes back with Walter. They all come back. If you call them, they're all here. Like it just like
right.
I, when I you know I put on the box right now, I could be like, "Hey, William, where are you?" I can't really hear him on the show.
That's
but,
what I kind of figured.
He's not bound to the fort. I was meant to find him though. I was meant to do the research.
Yeah.
I was meant to find the story.
Yeah.
That's what the way I look at
no,
it.
No, yeah, I definitely believe that. And I believe. We talked about the Hannah aspect, too.
What? I have an EVP. I'll have to get it. We'll get it to you so you can extract the audio. So I don't.
Yeah,
have to
I'll clean it for you.
All right.
Sure.
No, you don't need. No, don't clean it. You'll
but I've always believed William was that way. I just wanted to hear your complete take on it. Because I've actually heard you think that maybe sometimes he comes in and out because of that event and maybe the trauma from
he
it.
He goes back. No, he goes back to the pool.
Okay.
He'll go back.
Yeah, I got
they
you.
All go back. There's a portal there, remember?
Yeah, that's the thing.
People don't realize. That wasn't it, wasn't it? But anyway,
that's
a big thing.
You know,
I should have remembered
the portal.
No, not
of
you.
Of course,
but I'm
the
saying,
little...
But I didn't think about the portal aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the TV shows, they forgot. They didn't even... All them psychics, they missed that. Okay.
Yeah, they did.
Exactly. They missed that, and I mean, we got eight witnesses.
And you had eight eyewitnesses to the entire event.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And no psychic that's been there has even come close to finding that area.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's the point.
No, the thing that they were drawn to is the back wall where it was said.
That an inhuman
spirit travels through and has trapped the spirits at Fort Mifflin to feed off of their misery and all that bullshit.
Maybe it's German Shepherd buried on top of
the
wall.
The show kind
of,
one thing I'll say about that show that I watched on Ghost Story, they were kind of bleeding that a little bit. The narrator was, kind of bleeding that. Kind of a little of that ideology about the being soaked in blood, et cetera. But, that's for good. That's
Fort Mifflin,
true.
Yeah, Fort Mifflin is.
They did the history right.
They did get the history right. I was going to say
perfect.
That. It was spot on. It was great.
That's why.
Not saying that it was bad. I'm just saying, like any good entertainment show, they lead in with that, But I guess that's, cause for the goose.
They had a great producer. His name was Steve also. But they had a great producer. And I remember him.
Oh, no,
right,
I'm not knocking it.
I
think it was well done. They did get the history right.
They just
for what little
voices.
They covered,
yep.
yeah. What little
they
bit they covered of it.
So
yeah.
The most terrifying places in America. They
oh, I like
yes.
the dude. Yeah,
oh,
the
yeah.
dude.
That one,
the
I like that one,
was
too.
Great.
That
yeah,
was my,
that
that's
was
my, sure. they used my real scream in that, you know. That's me screaming.
Oh, hell. What
yep.
did you do, step on a nail?
No, I just, I used my, my vocal talent from singing.
She was reaching back
yeah,
into
I know.
The punk rocker days.
Yeah, no,
I'm
just
aggravated.
Let it out. Yep.
Your
I
Sid Vicious came out, huh?
Yeah, it worked.
Your Sid
so.
Vicious was delicious.
But they were two of the most funnest times I had was
right.
working with the Travel Channel. It really was. They were
yeah,
great.
Yeah, there's some
yeah.
good people there. I've got
because,
a lot of
yeah.
friends that work for them.
Yep, and it was just really. I
they
like kind of
got
ghost.
Wonky.
If anybody needs a ghost for anything, hire me, please. There you go.
Oh,
hire
you. Yeah, oh, by the way, yeah. you were a 10. You really yeah. played her perfectly.
Yep. Yeah,
Bunker.
Both times.
Mrs. Bunker, you look
Bunker,
really great.
I played both
yeah.
Elizabeth Pratt in one show and Elizabeth Bunker in
yeah,
another.
I remember the, I've seen both
was,
of them. I haven't seen the other one in it. Hey,
Elizabeth
what's the
Pratt,
other show?
Most Terrifying Places?
Yeah, that's Most
Terrifying Most
Terrifying
Places.
Places.
I need
Pratt.
To watch that again. I haven't
yeah.
watched that since 2017.
That one,
or
when you were
whatever.
In the green
wait,
dress.
Wait a minute. I think they also give the two examples in that, but I was still the screaming lady. No, regardless, I was Elizabeth.
Remember
Elizabeth.
I called you, Lisa?
Yeah.
I
yeah.
said, I just saw you on television. It was
I
the
know.
Most terrifying places. And
now
you're like,
on.
Yeah, I did that. That was me. Yeah,
yep.
I saw your name.
Yep.
Like
yeah,
you're like,
was,
how did you find that? I said I was just channel surfing in it.
That was
up.
Fun though. They were fun.
That's when
I
had
playing,
satellite.
I like
yeah.
playing a ghost. I do. I that's one of my
yeah.
favorite things to do. I mean, it's fun.
Well, you did. I
makeup
loved it. You were so
and,
cute in your little, out your 18th century
yeah.
garb, walking around in pain, holding
yep.
your belly.
Oh, yeah. No, that yep, yeah, that was that would have been like when she, yeah, yeah, 1800s, right? Right? I don't know what year it was.
18 would be. Oh wait,
19th
century. 19th century.
Yeah, no, yeah, 19th.
That would have been right. that would have been
yeah,
1800 when yellow fever. Spoke.
That would have been
yeah.
Elizabeth Pratt.
Yeah,
that
I misspoke. I'm sorry. It was the 19th century
or something. Yeah. But for the bunker one, it was fun. It was still no matter. It was still the same kind of clothes. It was
right,
colonial
right.
style. Clothes. I don't know what year she was there, but I forget. I mean, it's my research.
Oh, yeah,
but.
That's right. She may have been before then, yeah.
Look at, like, yeah, but Pratt, we know. I mean, like, I know her two children died here. She's not there at the hospital building either. Her two children
right.
died. She had one infant. I think the other one was, like, 9, and they died of yellow fever. And, unfortunately, Elizabeth
yeah, that's
herself
some bad shit.
Succumbed to yellow fever and died. There,
yeah,
but they
that was
were
some
buried.
Bad shit.
They were buried next to the hospital building, like behind there. But they moved the graves to a proper cemetery for all of
right.
them in Philadelphia. So that
that's
was
awesome,
nice.
Man.
You know what I mean?
Cool.
Yeah, and Elizabeth Bunker. I mean, you know, she did have gastritis. Really, really, they killed her. All right, so
yeah,
yeah.
probably went into
back
cancer.
When,
yeah,
just
back
have
then,
diagnosis.
That's,
yeah.
yeah, back then, yeah, mm-hmm. that's some rough shit.
Yeah, so there was no treatment, no nothing like that, and boom. And besides, it might have been cancer. They didn't have tests for that either. So, you know, like stomach cancer. You know,
the only methods they had was pain relief, getting you hooked on morphine and other
yeah,
nasty
all that other.
Yeah. Poor
yeah.
William. The medicine bottle literally said cocaine, morphine, and alcohol. All right.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder
yep.
why he didn't like drugs too. That's another thing he does
right.
not like. People
I remember
doing drugs at all. He does not like it.
Yeah,
he,
I remember
he does, he,
when
he gets very upset
when my lung collapsed on me and they gave me that mixture, morphine and Demerol.
Okay.
Good God.
Yeah. Well, they had to cut my chest open and put the chest tube in. So.
No, thank you.
You know, like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, you know, they started to cut. I'm like, no, I can still feel that. And then they shot me with that crap. I'm like, yeah, okay, I can't feel anything, but I can taste green.
Oh, my God. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
no,
like,
I
can, yeah.
Yeah. Look.
So
that's
just being on that for a short period of time, I can only imagine on
but
an
I mean,
extended.
Imagine it had
dysentery.
Dysentery.
They had nothing.
dysentery,
that,
of course,
that's
an,
the true thing,
no,
thing.
But an opiate will make you constipated.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Of course, they thought that that treated the dysentery, is what I'm
right.
saying. But it didn't treat, William was sick as shit. They had
yeah.
him in a wet cell downstairs by himself in the fucking dark. Okay, and you know what?
Yeah,
he, what he read at the end. At the end, shows what type of man he was. He was a good man, and he's still a good spirit.
Yeah.
Not a piece of shit.
No, I mean, from all the audio that I've heard from him, and even, and I still swear to God, it was William who had a little bit of fun when I was down there. You know, hey, go over and look at the mirror, and then look at the ceiling. And
William was giving him. Wait a minute! It sounded like he was ready to arrest you. When I think back at that, look.
Oh my God!
Look
yeah.
Look straight ahead. Remember? Look up. Turn around. Remember? I
yep. Yeah. There was either yeah. Oh, oh well,
God.
We're gonna arrest you, or we're gonna treat you like.
No, but then
you know,
they laughed too. Remember?
Yeah. Then yeah. they laughed about it.
Yeah. So,
because
yeah,
I did every damn bit of it. I walked over to the damn sink. I'm leaning on the counter. I'm looking in the mirror. I'm like, yeah, yeah.
Look up.
You can't make it up, man. You're hearing this, and you shouldn't be hearing laughing, but you are.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm
yeah.
Lisa's sitting next to the box. I'm
yeah.
I'm away from it. I'm still hearing what they're saying, so I'm doing it. She's
right.
saying it, and I'm like, okay,
yeah.
now what? And then they
I think
said,
it
now,
was Walter, though. That one, I think, was both, like, William and Walter in that
right.
the scenario there.
And then they said,
no,
when they told me
thing.
To turn around, I turned around
yep.
and looked at the other wall, and that's when they laughed, and I'm like,
yep.
oh, my
yep.
God, what did they just do to me here?
Yeah, yeah, I'd see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it was kind of cute, though.
It
no,
was.
Dude, oh, my God, you're not going to believe what happened to me today. Okay, all right, wait, oh, my God, we only got 3 minutes. Okay, so me and Carly were running the box this afternoon, okay?
Right.
And you know, because she's going on a trip and she wants to make sure everything's going to go smoothly and whatnot.
Hey, Carly. What's up, Carly?
Carly.
We love you, Carly.
Yes, we do. And so Box goes, hey, check your email, right? And I can't. I'm recording. So Carly goes, I'll check my email, make sure they're not, we didn't know who they were talking about. So
right.
when I was done recording, I go, okay, now I'll check my email. Open an email, got an email from WMMR about Mikey. They need his
name.
Oh, yeah. Because he's going to, I put him in to play, I mean,
on
the thing or whatever, on side stage for the MMR barbecue. So they asked for his
nice.
So, but that was the email. It had come right after they said it.
Yeah, they wanted
literally
Mikey's bio,
after.
So they had information.
Right, so
yeah,
they already they're looking at him. That's good.
Yeah, they are.
No, but the point is the box told me to check my email before it came.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So it was there.
So
just
you
like,
got a heads up from
time.
Walter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Just
time.
Like when they told you about Mikey's news before Mikey even called you.
That was
yeah.
Funny. But they well,
at
they
least
were,
it must be nice getting heads
look
up
at,
all the time.
Heads up. Look, they knew a disaster could have been impending, and they stopped it. They really
yes.
helped along the lines with this to
yes.
the extent that you will not believe. And everything's fine now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So well, I'll just say that.
But Lisa, there's something I want to shout out. We got a bad hurricane headed toward an area where I got family and friends, and
oh,
I wanted
shit.
To wish them all the best over in Florida and
oh,
other
yeah.
areas that may be impacted by this hurricane.
Yeah,
send a message
my
to a very special
area,
friend
too.
Who's she's oh, actually right. She's right
oh,
in
God.
The. But anyway, good luck to them. And final thoughts, y'all. Final thoughts
oh, yeah,
on William
well, I'm going to send a shout-out to Danny Bigbeard, a.k.a. Danny Roberts, okay? And I want him to stay safe in the storm, too. He's in the line.
Oh, yeah, that's
fire.
Right. Oh, my
yeah.
goodness,
okay.
he is, too.
And
yes.
right,
my daughter's
so.
Down there in Pensacola, right in
yep.
that same
and
area.
Family I have.
Yeah, and Rena
yeah.
Hyatt,
yeah.
good luck to you, sweetie, Rena.
Everybody, hunker down and stay put. Stay safe.
And Bonnie.
Yep. And we
Bonnie,
will be joining
Bonnie.
You. Now, next week, we will be having our guest, Nick. I don't know whether he's going to come over here because he lives right down the street. So I don't know whether he's going to come over here and do it with me live. You know what I mean? Or he'll be
right.
on the phone. Either one. All right. So we're going to have Nick Santino on next week. He's going to talk about the Lucy Bourne House. He's done a ton of research there. He's dealt with the spirits there.
I have a couple of
say.
Questions about some of the things that I've heard from Lizzie Borden's house.
Okay, well, I'm sure Nick will be able to help you with that.
I hope so because these are a little bit tricky.
Shout out to Seth Borden. That's Lizzie's mm-hmm. relative who's a ghost hunter now. So,
oh, wow,
yeah.
cool. Actually, that's
yeah,
Seth he probably
Borden.
Knows that. Uh-huh. He probably Nick probably knows that, but he loves
he's on YouTube. Yeah, he'll know Seth. He'll know who
He knows. He loves it like way I love the Fort, and you love the Nickerson Sneed. That's what I gotta say. All right, guys, we're
good night, everyone.
All right, good night, everybody.
Tune in next week.
Yes.
Yep.
Come join us for a Lizzie Borden episode.
Have a spooky weekend.
Borden, it's got to be good. Good night, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.